Representative Bill Marsh joining us for the Senate he's running, GMI Studios. Good morning, Representative. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Jack. It's a pleasure to join you this morning.
Well, thank you. You know, one question I ask when people run for president, Senate, governor, Congress, you name it, why are you running for the U.S. Senate to challenge Jeb Bradley? And it's interesting, you switch parties from Republican to Democrat. So you're challenging Jeb Bradley, but why are you running for the Senate seat?
Well, this is actually a great question, and in some ways it's not a new thing. For some years, Jeb has talked about retiring. And my first term, a number of people asked me if I was going to run for Jeb's seat if he retired. Frankly, at the time, I was perfectly happy to just be a policy wonk and work on public health. But it planted an idea in my head. Obviously, things changed a lot this summer. As you said, I switched parties. I realized that the biggest issue in my mind in the state of New Hampshire right now was we've got some fairly radical right-wing Republicans that have taken over the Republican Party and are trying to change the state of New Hampshire. And I realized that my senator was letting this happen. I didn't want to stand for that. Didn't see anybody else stepping up to the plate to run, so I said I would do it.
Let me ask you one of the quotes I saw, and thank you for joining us, Representative Marsh, challenging Jeb Bradley in that Senate seat. You said, I believe one of your statements, we need a senator with the character to push back against falsehoods, conspiracy theories, and policies that prolong the pandemic and put our economic recovery further out of reach for the people of New Hampshire. What falsehoods and conspiracy theories are you criticizing Mr. Bradley for?
I think that Jeb's stance on the vaccine commission and his stance on the necessity of the COVID vaccine for the children and the citizens in the state of New Hampshire is reflective of basically misinformation that's been propagated in a lot of venues on the Internet. And it's unfortunate, really, because this should not be a political issue. Public health is something that we used to all agree on. It used to be something that we all realized we had to give up some of our rights in order to keep the community safe. But doesn't seem to be the feeling of a great many people at the moment.
Well, I don't know. I'm looking at some states, and I think some people are scratching the head after the Omicron surge. And I'm just, you know, I've had COVID twice myself. I've taken all the precautions. I think some people are looking at what we've thrown against the wall and what's stuck and hasn't. There's a lot. The jury's out on a lot of it. So is all that falsehoods and conspiracy theory? Do you think there's legitimate questions, for example, like do you think students in New Hampshire should continue to wear masks in schools with other states lifting that order?
I think that the necessity for mask mandates depends on the prevalence of the disease in the community. In fact, I got on the governor's case the first summer that we had COVID when he still had the mask mandate in place, and really we had a bit of a tiff on the telephone about, I thought he kept the mask mandate in place too long at the beginning because we really had hardly any cases at that point in time. Didn't make any sense. But I think it's fairly evident that masks, and particularly good masks like N95 masks, are an excellent way of protecting yourself when you're in public places. And the advice of the CDC to wear masks in public places when transmission in the community is high is pretty good evidence. We had in Berlin earlier this fall when Delta started spiking, the mayor put in a mask mandate, which brought the cases down in that section of the state fairly rapidly, actually. So it may be something that we're going to need to use from time to time as waves of disease come through. It's certainly not something I think we need all the time, but I think we need to use all the tools at our disposal in order to keep people safe.
Well, you know, just curious, because this question a listener asked earlier, I'm going to ask Representative Marsh this because you've put time in on the public health side. The Omicron surge that we're starting, you just heard the governor talking about numbers finally subsiding now. Nothing seemed to stop the spread of that. And cities and towns like Portsmouth, where I live, put in the mask mandate again at the beginning of the surge. People fully vaccinated and boosted, I know, battled the thing for 3 or 4 weeks, and hopefully they didn't wind up in a medical office. But nothing seemed to stop the Omicron surge. And regardless of the policies, would you agree that surge certainly exceeded what a lot of people thought in terms of how contagious it was?
Well, it exceeded what a lot of people thought. I think the people who knew about Omicron and Omicron coming certainly expected it to be far more contagious. And by the way, we have the BA2 version of Omicron, which is supposed to be even more contagious. It's now found in about half the state. So it may be premature to think that we're totally done with this. We may get another wave in a few months as immunity starts to wane for people. So
well, you know,
I don't want to let our guards down.
Don't you think it's false to even suggest that we're ever done with the virus? I mean, it's not going away. I mean, it's not going to go away. But I think what's happening, there's an interesting article this morning that even on some of the Democrat-run states with governors, they're rethinking a lot of things, even when the surges come and go again, what people want and what they don't want. Let me switch gears. What about on the fiscal side? Story yesterday out of the governor's office and the revenue projections, almost $284 million revenue. Extra revenues over the next 2 years in New Hampshire. Some would say that the state's fiscally operating pretty well. Would you be critical? What would your thoughts be towards, talking about the fiscal health of New Hampshire?
Well, I've always been a fiscal conservative. I intend to be a fiscal conservative going forward. That's certainly been true in my town. That's been true in my family. It's the way I ran the hospital in the 10 years that I was treasurer of Huggins Hospital. So I will always be a fiscal conservative. Right now we're generating a lot of surplus money. We may need that money for certain things. At the last HHS Oversight Committee, Commissioner Chivinette said that we needed significantly more money to upgrade our public health system so that we would be ready if we do continue to get waves of COVID or of a number of other diseases that easily could become problems in the state of New Hampshire. This was in response to a query by Jeff Soloway, who is an epidemiologist and also on that committee. So we may have some things that we need to be using some of that money for. And one of the things we learned running the hospital is that you don't create success by just cutting things. Sometimes you do have to invest in programs to make things better and in order to succeed going forward. So you need to be very careful about that and not miss out on opportunities strictly because all you're doing is cutting.
All right, Representative Bill Marsh, Democrat running in for that Senate seat that is currently held by Jeb Bradley. Before I let you go, you did make some news switching, as you said earlier. Well, you didn't say it, but I said it. Switching from Republican to a Democratic status. You're running as a Democrat, challenging Republican Senator Bradley. Let me ask you this, though. A few moments ago, you said that the Republican Party, you can rephrase your words, but when I asked you about what falsehoods and conspiracy theories Senator Bradley had supported, you said that the Republican Party is being taken over by an extreme fringe or extreme, I don't know how you put it, right? What about on the Democratic Party? Some would say nationally and locally that there's a far left bent that's much more progressive or liberal, almost socialist than the Democratic Party. So would you say that you're still comfortable that overall the Democratic Party is where you want to be when you look at you mentioned the far right. What about the far fringe part of the Democratic Party? Is that too far left for you, or do you have any thoughts on that?
Most definitely. I will never be a progressive. There's no question about that either. And the Democratic Party is far from perfect. Frankly, I'd be really happy if we had a moderate party because that's where I think most of the voters in the state of New Hampshire live. But since I switched parties, I've had far less harassment about my views on various issues than I had before. They seem to be relatively accepting of that diversity. Now, it may be because they're in the minority right now. That's subject to change. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. For right now, I have felt well accepted in the Democratic Party that we have in the state of New Hampshire.
All right, Representative Marsh, I appreciate you joining us. Best way people can learn more about your Senate candidacy, do you have a website or anything you want to point to?
My website is wmarshmd.com. We're currently upgrading the website. It's something I haven't paid a great deal of attention to in recent months, and then with this change, we need to do that. But there's information there about my background, my biography, some of the bills that I've passed. I've passed an awful lot of bills in the State House over the last 5 years. And there's a link if people want to support us, and that way people can learn a lot more about me.
Appreciate you joining us, Representative Marsh. We'll get you back in. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.